So if you have your Bibles, perhaps you could turn back to that passage which we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want in particular to look at the first verse. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Now many of you might think, well, you can hardly describe me as a youth. But when you consider that some of us gathered on Wednesday to celebrate Mrs. Webb's 99th birthday, some of us are a little bit younger than her, aren't they? So, aren't we? So we can even now recognize God's goodness to us and the help that he gives us in life. As I said earlier, at Pembroke this year, Owen Batstone, who grew up in the Heath in Cardiff and is now ministering in Calvary Evangelical Church in Ogmore Vale, he spoke to us on the subject of God Goes Public. He built his messages on John chapter 17, and he had these four titles: The Gospel and God, The Gospel and Us, The Gospel and the World, The Gospel and the Church. And he was showing us how God has interacted with people in different ways. And I want to pick up that theme of God Goes Public. What I want to do is to look back at 2 days that have already happened in history when God went very public. And the third one is a day that has not yet happened, but it will happen, and God will go completely public when every eye will see him. Gareth spoke this morning to the children about Jesus being our Saviour, and he loves that title for himself, that he is Saviour. And we thank God for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has saved his people. But I want to look at this verse and what it actually says to us. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, in effect, is describing what happens as we get older. Verse 2, before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. We don't see quite so well as we get older, do we? Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, we're not quite as strong on our feet and on our legs as we once were. And I love the description at the end of verse 3. The grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. In other words, Sarah gets less work with us older ones than she does with younger people, because we haven't got so many teeth in our head, and the grinders aren't there. And there, later on, it talks about the almond tree blossoming. And I see a lot of almond trees around us this morning with the white heads. And what the writer is saying is, look, you have got to get things sorted out when you are younger. You have got to make sure that your relationship with God is established now. And that is, in effect, the first thing that I want to say. The writer, God the Holy Spirit, is saying to us, I've got an urgent reminder for you this morning. I want you to remember God. Not simply remember him in history, but remember that you have got a relationship with him. This is written as a command. It's not an option. But God is saying to us, you've got to do it. Now, we live in a time when people don't like commands. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. Or if they don't actually say that, they say it in their actions. They simply disobey. Other people struggle with commands in quite a different way. They know what they want, and they nag until they get it. I'm sure there are parents here this morning who know that, don't they? Children, Mom, can I have Dad? Can I do this? And those of you who are younger, you know, if you keep going, if you keep at it, you'll get what you want. But God is saying, no, I'm not going to change. I am telling you, you have got to remember me. Because old and young alike, we struggle with people telling us what to do. Now, this verse is translated in a number of different ways. Here we have, remember also your Creator. In the NIV, it simply says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And the NIV is the right one because it doesn't add anything. It's simply saying, remember, it's important that you obey God's commands. But those of you who are using the AV or the New King James Version, you will find that it inserts the word now. And while that was not in the original language, the translators are trying to bring out the emphasis of this word, the urgency of it. Now is the time to remember God. You may be young here this morning. If you don't remember God now, there may be things that come into your life that you regret later. I know, for myself, I can say, I wish I had not allowed that to come into my life at that stage, because I've lived with the regrets of it. And God is pressing home this point. Now is the time to remember God. The writer to the Hebrews actually takes this up. And he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now is the time. Today is the time to get right with God. But here in the ESV, we see the word also inserted. It wasn't there in the original. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, young people are very busy, aren't they? They've got this to do, they've got that to do. And being honest and practical, you've got exams to pass. You've got choices to make. Decisions that you make in your teenage years will have an effect on the whole of your life. And those are important decisions. But, let's face it, there are other far more important things in life. You've got to have the latest iPhone. You've got to have the right iPad. And you've got to have this, you've got to have that. And what the writer is saying is, with all of this, remember also that you need God. And if I can give a practical point here, we all get so busy in life, and you as young people will get busy. You're at school, you want to be taken up with the latest activities, but if it's exams, if it's sport, if it's another pastime, I want to say to you, in all of that busyness, make sure that you have got time for God. Is it essential that Sunday morning has to be used for homework or for that big game? We're into Euro 2012, aren't we? And I'm not sure whether games will be played or not, but most of us have got some form of system of recording these things. Let's make sure that we remember God, that on Sundays, God is given the priority. The New Living Translation of this verse actually says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Many of us say, yes, I've got a place for God, but we get so caught up with this and we think, oh, I have forgotten God. I have forgotten my responsibility to worship him. I have forgotten my responsibility to spend time with him. So the point that the writer is making here this morning is that this is an urgent reminder to remember. To remember who? God, your creator. And when God created the world, it was a day when he went public. He spoke with humanity. Last weekend we had the Jubilee, didn't we? The Diamond Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. And there were walkabouts, and there were carriage rides, and there were flotillas on the river. Our Queen was public. Her family were public. But the writer is here is saying, remember your Creator. Now, we live in a day, don't we, when it might be said, as it used to be said back in the 70s, evolution rules okay. Nobody thinks of, or very few people think of, a creator these days. It's all happened by accident. Well, I suggest if you believe in evolution, that you sit down and listen to the experts. Because I was listening to something on the radio this week, and this person was saying that the world is 450 million centuries old. Now, I can't get my head around that. But you talk to somebody else, and they will have this number of years for the age of the earth, or that number of years. They can't agree with themselves about the when the world was created. Do you want an answer to that question? When was the world created? We don't know. God has not told us. All he has told us is that he created the world. Some old Bibles, you will find next to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, 4004 BC. We cannot say with any accuracy that that is right. But what we can say was that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, we are told right back in the beginning of Genesis, God in Trinity created this world. When John begins his gospel, the beginning of the New Testament, he says this, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who is the Word? Well, verse 14 of John chapter 1 tells us that the Word became flesh. The Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three were involved in creating this world. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When God created the world, he went public. He spoke with Adam and Eve. He said to them, look at this wonderful garden that I've placed you in. You can eat of all the trees, with the exception of that one. And if you eat that one, you will die. He went public. He set the standards. And when the standards were broken, the consequences were suffered. God said to Adam and Eve, you can no longer stay in the garden. There will be a separation between me and you. And by the way, that will affect all of your descendants. It affects all of us, friends. All of us are born at a distance from our Creator. But that said, each and every one of you this morning, each and every one of us this morning, has been a direct gift from God. Psalm 127 says to us, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. There is no such thing as an accidental birth. God has ordained that each one of us should be born. Acts 17 drives this home again. In him we live and move and have our being, for indeed we are his offspring. Friends, this morning, remember your Creator. Our world is in a mess. Not because of economics, not because of climate change. Both of those things are real. But we are in a mess because people are choosing to forget their Creator. They're choosing to forget that there is a God who created this world and who set the rules. But I said we're going to look at 3 days or 3 ways in which God went public. He was public in creation. But we also need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, because the Creator is also the Savior, as Gareth was talking about this morning. John 3 tells us that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, God, went public the day that he saved the world. We live in a world, don't we, where if executions take place in certain countries, certainly even when they took place in our country, towards the end, they were not public affairs. They took place behind prison walls. In America today, when people are given lethal injections, it happens in private, in a separated room. But when Jesus died, he died in public. He actually said, "And I, when I am lifted from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Jesus was taken outside of the city. He was taken to a hillside. He was placed in a public place. And he was crucified. A horrible death. He didn't do it as an example. Many people will preach about Jesus and say, look, he was willing to give himself. You have got to be willing to do exactly the same. That wasn't the point of Calvary, friends. The point of Calvary was that Jesus died in the place of all those who will believe in him. Jesus took their place. Jesus is the only Savior. God spoke to us. God went public when Jesus was crucified. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but Jesus was crucified on a public holiday. Remember last weekend, all those hundreds and thousands of people who were lining the side of the Thames as that flotilla passed along. Think of the hundreds of thousands of people who crammed into the Mall after the Queen had made her carriage procession. Why was that possible? It was possible because it was a public holiday. Nobody was at work. Do you know when Jesus was crucified? He was crucified on the Passover. He was crucified on a day of public holiday. God had said nobody is to work. And literally thousands of people would have come into Jerusalem for the Passover. But God wanted them to be there because he was going public. He was saying to everyone who would believe in him, my Son has paid the price of your sin. But friends, there is a limit in God's concern. Jesus died on the cross. He died for the sins of the whole world, people of every tribe and nation. But he only died for those who will believe. He will only save those who call upon him. In fact, he puts a very strong limit on it in Acts chapter 4. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Friends, Jesus paid the price. Peter tells us that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And for all of us who call upon him, there is full forgiveness, there is full salvation, there is a full rescue. But for those who want to use some other religion, there is no other way to be saved. Just think, in a few months' time, London will be heaving again, won't it, with people. Not this time for the Diamond Jubilee, but for the Olympics. Many people, even members of our own church, have bought tickets for different events. And when they turn up at the stadium, they will hand over their tickets, and I dare say their tickets will be tested to see if they are genuine, and if they are genuine, they will be admitted. But the facts are, there will be thousands of forgeries as well, and people will turn up, and they will hand over their forged tickets. And what will happen? The stewards, the gatekeepers, they will say, "Sorry, you cannot come in." Friends, that's a picture of heaven. Is it unfair that the people are turned away with the forgeries? Well, it is a little bit unfair in that they've paid their money and they've been deceived. But that is what every false religion does. If it says to people, "Work hard, live a good life, and you will get into heaven," it's a forgery. It is a deception. Because Jesus is the only Saviour. And let me tell you, if you're planning on going to the Olympics, and you say, "I'll eventually get round to buying a ticket," and you turn up on the day, you might get a genuine ticket from a ticket tout at the gate, but you will pay a lot more than if you had bought it now. Because the facts are, if you want a ticket for the Olympics, you should have been there when they were distributed. And that is what God is saying in this verse. Remember now your Creator, the AV says. Because now is the favourable time. Now is the day of salvation. God went public at creation. God went public when he saved the world. Because Jesus, our Creator, is also our Saviour. But friends, there is going to be another public day. Another day when God goes public. Because the Creator is not only the Creator, not only the Saviour, he is also the Judge. And we're told at the end of Matthew's Gospel that when the Son of Man comes and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. All the nations. Every one of us here this morning. All of our relatives. All of our ancestors. All of our descendants. Will be standing on that great and public day. And Matthew goes on and says, the Son of Man will separate the sheep from the goats. He's talking about the nations. There will be a separation. Friends, it might be that you don't want to bow the knee before your Creator at the moment. It might be that you don't want to ask somebody else to save you. But the Bible tells us that on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. They will know that he created the world. They will know that he is Judge. And they will not be able to escape that. But they will also know that he is Saviour. He is Saviour to those who remembered him. He is Saviour to those who believed on him. But those who refused to bow, those who refused to ask for help, they will know that he has saved, but he has not saved them. Friends, on that final day, when God goes public, there will be division and there will be a final decision. Those who have believed will be saved. Those who have rebelled and felt that they could live without God will be judged. Friends, make no mistake. I have got no pleasure in saying to you this morning that if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be judged. It doesn't give me any pleasure, because it doesn't give God any pleasure either. Because God so loved us that he created us. God so loved us that he was willing to save all who will believe in him. Even in his judgment, he will be showing his love because he is unchanging. Friends, we cannot change God's first public day because he has created the world. He's created each of us. We cannot change God's second public day because he knows for whom Christ died. He knows the price that was paid. But we can prepare for God's final public day, the day of judgment. We cannot prepare for it tomorrow, because not one of us knows that we will have tomorrow. Remember also your Creator. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Today, ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. Ask him to help you to live for his glory. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Amen.